Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to welcome each and every one here in God's house of prayer this morning. It's a wonderful time to gather and just to remember what the gift of God, what has been given to us. And as we just think about those things, what Jesus has done, and I want to just go through that a bit, what he has done. But before we go to Psalm, I would just like to read a couple of verses yet in Luke chapter 9 from verse 18 and on. It says, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say people that I am? And they answering said, John the Baptist. Some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And then he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Whom say ye that I am?" And I think that's the question for us also, to say, who do you say that he is? Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, so thankful, that we have a place to gather, and that we have a Bible, and that we can read the Bible, and pray those that cannot read, that they will get themselves something that will even read to them. Then, Lord, it's so precious to always hear your word and always hear again what you have done for us. And, Father, that you loved us so much, that you love your creation, that no one could ever say that you did not love them. Then you would give your only begotten Son, that he would come to this earth, and Jesus, that you would offer your life for a sacrifice as a lamb going to the slaughter, that we would be able to be saved by that blood. And so, Jesus, we thank you so much today again, and ask just that you will be with us here by your Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that we can just take it all in, and that the Spirit will move us to even put this more in action in what you have done, the love that you had, and also that we will sacrifice even ourselves to do the work that you have before us. And so we pray for ourselves here for healing in the heart, if there's healing needs to take place, and also healing in the body. Lord, we pray for others that are surrounding this place, and also pray for those that are in this province, in this country, in the world today. We pray for the loss, and we also pray for those that have gone out to minister, and Lord, also that we pray for them that are in the hospitals, that are home, sick, as we also pray for them as the governments, and we ask that you would be with them as we see that there's, you know, great strife in governments or even in churches many times. We pray for your Spirit to bring peace upon it, all of that, and all, especially with us here today. Help us to praise you and honor you and glorify your name as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of songs.
Let's take our red hymn notes and turn to page 104. I saw one hanging on a tree. 104.
Oh. Savior Bleed. Number 174.
Song reminds me a lot about the when I first saw the light in myself, and I would say my conversion, right? That's my where, and the first message I ever did, that's the song I used. It was at the cross where I saw the light, and when the light shines, it just brings much happiness into or joy into the person's life. And so even this, where we, go through today is, what we call Good Friday. We would say that is something very sad, and yet it's the happiest day for Christians. And we say happiest day, well, that's where Christ died. He had victory, and we know he's risen. And that's also one of those, but the time of now is about the happiest time that we could ever say where Jesus Christ, He gave a gift that can never be repaid, a gift that can never be repaid, and yet everyone can have it. And I pray everyone has it here today. If not, then get this gift, because this is a joyous gift that you can, and when you read over and over the in the book, the Bible, it's ever new, always new. And it brings joy when we do that. I want to go to go through passages that where Jesus did die, and also before he was in great trial. And my thought sometimes was Jesus on trial or the people to see what they will do to Jesus or what they would do to Jesus? And so the question is, who will we choose today, Jesus or the people? And as I said before already, who do you say, or who do I say who Jesus is in our life? And so When we turn to Matthew chapter, to start off with Matthew chapter 26, we'll go through all the Gospels today and back and forth, but Matthew 26, 57 says, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and Pharisees, or the scribes and elders were assembled." So here they were assembled to wanting to judge him and according to their law. And so we also then turn to John 18, verse 13 and 14. Here it says, "And led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest, that same year. And Caiaphas was he what gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." So one man should die for the people. So we see that Caiaphas gave this counsel to the Jews. But we also see that there was denial even in the within the group of the disciples, that they denied that, and they all fled. So Peter's denial was in Matthew chapter 26, verse 58. Here, further from 57, it says, "And Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and saw with the servants to see the end." So here we can see how they went. They were together with Jesus, and he also made that prediction in Matthew 26. Where Jesus said this in verse 31, he says, and then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." So we can see, he made it very clear that they would be offended. The disciples would actually be offended. And so the shepherd would be smitten, and the sheep would, the flock would scatter. And so we can see that how that is so true, that even in today's age, that we see when people are not really in the Lord, and they will, if something goes wrong, they will scatter. They will all be all over the place. And so we ought to be very sure where we are at today. And as we look further, they look for people that would have a false witness, and if we stay in Matthew chapter 26, we see that verses 63 and 64, he says, "But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." So here he has kept quiet. He did not say anything. They accused him with all kinds of false things, and yet he kept quiet. When they told the truth, as he says, "I adjure thee by the living God that tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And then he spoke. Then he says, "Thou hast said." And so that he would now be sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And so here we can see how he made that clear. And when we just turn to Mark, there also Mark chapter 14:36. Mark chapter 14, verse 62, sorry. Here he also makes a statement, and just again, the high priest, or they had spoken there, and they wanted to know it, and Jesus said, "I am." So, and we know, and even in the Old Testament, where God himself, when Moses says, "So who should I say you are?" And then he says, "The great I am." And here also Jesus says, "I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." And so we can see how he is seeing that if they could not find something, here they were seeing if they couldn't find something wrong with Jesus. And yet they didn't find anything wrong. They would not find anything wrong. So, and as we then see that he's before Pilate. And if we go to John chapter 18 again, verse 28. John 18, verse 28 and on, he says, and they led him, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? So Pilate actually went out. He went outside. They wouldn't go in because they didn't want to be defiled. They wanted to, you know, eat the Passover. So they were looking after themselves. And then Pilate went out yet. He said, what accusation do you have against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate answered, enter into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Art thou the king of the Jews? And then Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And so here, you know, is another question is, for myself, it's a lot of times, it's like, okay, we have a lot of times people tell us all kinds of things, and we get all kinds of messages. And here too, when Pilate is asking him this question, he says, art thou the king of the Jews? And then Jesus wanted to know, do you know this personally? Do you know this personally, or has somebody just told you this? That's a question that for myself too is asking, like, are these just facts, or are these actually real to me that Jesus is actually born in within me? And so it's a very good question that Jesus had there, even for Pilate, saying, do you know me, or did just somebody tell you me? And so and then he goes on to say, and Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And then Jesus gives a clear answer. He says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. You see, and this is one of the things, Christians don't fight. They don't fight. The reason is because we are not of this kingdom. That's what Jesus very clearly said. But if I were, you know what would happen? Then my servants would fight. They would take up arms and then they would say, okay, now we're gonna fight. But Jesus makes it very clear, his kingdom is not of this world. That's why they're after him. Because the kingdom, you know, we have the devil as, you know, have the spirit of the air. Is we have the evil one has much of control. I mean, Jesus, God still have all control, but he gave control over to the devil. And so here now, that's what they were going to do. So making very sure, he's saying, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. That's why they do this. And then Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou the king then? Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. So to this end was he born. He was a king. But to this end was he born, for this cause came I into the world, that I would bear witness unto the truth. So he would bring truth into the world. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So it was a clear message of saying that whoever would hear him or hear the truth, they would also hear his voice. So it was somebody that would not hear the truth or wanted to hear the truth, they wouldn't hear him either. So it's a clear message that he gave here. So here he was before Pilate. And then they brought him through all kinds of leaders. Now the next one I want to read from Herod. Herod in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 is where they brought him to Herod. Luke 23 verse 6 and on. And Pilate, when Pilate heard of Galilee, asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to see Jesus more, have seen some miracles done. So he hoped to have seen some miracles done. He wasn't there to, I would like also have this life. I would like to have salvation. I would like to, believe in you. No, he wanted to just see some miracles. And then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him away to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. So we can see how they're... There is a where they were brought together, and before they didn't like each other. These gentlemen did not like each other, and yet when they met, they brought him to Herod. Then they would mock him, because Jesus would not actually give him any answers, not at all, even though he had questions, and he says, well, this guy doesn't want the answers that I want to give him. And so then Pilate is trying to release him. We go back to Matthew chapter 27, verse 17 and 18. Here Pilate is trying to release him. Matthew chapter 27, verse 17 and 18 says, therefore, when they were together, or were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Envy, jealousy, they had delivered him. And so they were very clear that Pilate was very clear. He wanted to release him, but he wanted to, they wanted somebody else released. And so then further he goes on verse 19 here. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So he was very, brought a message from his wife saying, you know what, I had a dream, and it was many things of this man. And so don't have nothing to do with this him. And then verse 24 in that same chapter, verse 24, he says, and when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. See ye to it. And so we can see how he didn't want anything to do with it. Even he got a message from his wife that was, there was to be... this was a just man. And then we see that how Mark 15, verse 15 is and on goes to where he says it, Pilate gives death sentence. He gives death sentence. Mark 15, 15 says, and Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And when we go on, it says, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, or Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute him, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the cheek or head and with a reed and spit upon him and bowed their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. So here we can see again how they would deliver Jesus into their hands, and then how they did to him, how they mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They would do all kinds of brutal things to this Jesus, which is our Lord and Savior today. And so, but we also see that, you know, the man that brought him to Jesus, or that actually would betray him. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 27. There was a man that betrayed him, and that was verse 20, Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 and 4. It says, Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. So here's also he making very clear there was innocent blood that he betrayed. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. So they had no mercy whatsoever. They just said, well, whatever, we, you know, you look after your own things. We have what we wanted. And so then further in Matthew 27, verse 31 and on, it says, and after that they had mocked him and took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto him, the place of called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. He would not drink. And so that one, I'll leave at the first part of the service. I'll I want to go to the second part. Before we do that, whoever is able and whatever you have on your heart today, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take our red hymn notes again and turn to page 144. I gave my life for thee. 144. For those that are able, could we all stand, please?
I gave
So now being led to the cross, and I want to turn to where Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, and I want to verse 26 and on. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon Cyrenian coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. And Jesus, turning unto them, and said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the pops which never have sucked. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Here Jesus made it very clear, as he was on his way to be crucified, he saw many people crying, especially women. And then he makes it very clear to, he says, Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. And these are the days for today where I think this is very, we can apply this to our lives much. As we know what the cross took and what Jesus did on the cross, weep for yourselves, weep for your children. We are in the days of green tree, and yet we see that how the world today, and not even just the world, but even the church has adopted the world stuff, the things. You know, they will say, Blessed are those that have never had children. And all together. And yet God said it was a blessing to have children. Nowadays it's out, well, we have all these things to stop to have children. Birth controls. I say weep for your children. Weep for yourselves. As Jesus made it very clear to the daughters of Jerusalem, then for we have so much of that today that we apply things to our lives from the world. I want to turn to Psalms a little bit. Psalms 127. And I think it has an application to this. It says, verse 1 on, it says, Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. So are the children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I find today that even criticism is within the church when people have more children. And I find that, yet Jesus says, this is what they will say is blessed. Yet when we read this one, he says it's good to have children. It is good to have many children if you have. There's nothing wrong. Actually, it's quite right. And then he says, you know what? These people will say, they will, mountains fall on us, or hills cover us. We see that even today, there's so much difficulties, even though we have Jesus as our Savior, and the cross is, you know, he's gone to the cross, he's given us a gift of eternal life. There's so much difficulties. It's almost like that already, saying, you know, mountains fall on us. We have it so bad, and yet we have it so good. We have it so good. I often tell people, look, we have it the best that we have ever had it. And we have so much issues, even within families, within marriages, within all these things. And it's almost like fall on us, you know. Just a reminder. Look, we have it best. But one of the things is we need to cry for ourselves and our children. And one of the reasons is that the Lord will protect us from the evil one, which has destroyed so much. Has destroyed so much. And that's why Jesus went to the cross, to make sure that we would have life eternal and that we wouldn't be going through spiritual difficulties. We would have, we would be protected. And we need to ask for that protection. But as they were going to the cross, they offered Jesus some wine on the cross. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 23. Just stay right there, Luke 23. Continue on from verse 32. Let's go to 33 or 32 and Luke 23, verse 32. And there were also two male male factors led him with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the male factors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So he asked him already to forgive all of them that are what are doing it, because he said they don't know what they're doing. And then they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen God. Here is what he wanted to do. He wanted to save others. And yet he said, they're thinking and they're not understanding that he was saving others while he was staying on the cross. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offered him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. So here we can see how he said, this is the king of the Jews. That's what was written on there. And when we go to John chapter 19, John chapter 19, verse 23 and 24, the soldiers, when they had crucified him, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rent it, but cast lots for it. whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. So that the scriptures, this was already said before, and the scripture might be fulfilled. And so then further, the Jews, they mocked Jesus. And when we go back to Mark chapter 15, there we again further read. And they passed by wailing on him, wagging their heads, and saying, ah, that thou destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said unto him among themselves, with the scribes he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that he might see and believe. And they that were crucified with him wailed on him. So we can see how they continue to mock Jesus, you know, that he would, you know, save himself, but he wasn't about to save himself. And as we then continue in Luke chapter 23, verse 39, and on he says, and one of the male factors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the others answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And he indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Then Jesus said unto him, surely, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a answer that would have, you know, been for him, or what a joy that must have been for that thief that was hanging on the cross, and hearing that these words that they had, you know, that he would be in paradise with him. So that was, we can follow the example of that thief to also, if we don't have Jesus, and if we want Jesus, just ask him. Ask him. And then, but Jesus doesn't leave us by ourselves, as he also did not leave his mother by herself. As we go to John chapter 19, here verse 25 and 20 to 27, he says, and there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And he then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. So he did not leave her by herself. He was actually, you know, gave her also that she would have a home to be, you know, taken care of. And then when we turn back to Luke 23, darkness prevails. Luke 23, verse 44 and on. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So we can see how he, when he, there was great darkness first. Great darkness. All the, you know, everything was dark. And then the temple was rent. Then the temple was rent. Then we had, now we would have free access to the Father anytime, whenever we want to, and not have to go to the priest. And then we turn back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 to 53. And here, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And so we can see in this passage here that, you know, there was graves as the earthquake was. Then the graves were opened, the rocks were rent, he says, and then after Jesus' resurrection, then there was many saints that actually arose, and they went into the cities. And so, and sometimes people ask me, so what happened to these saints? What went? It doesn't say anything anymore. That's all it says. And then maybe some of you have answers for that. For myself, I don't actually. But then also these men that saw what happened here, they said, the centurions, they said, or they greatly feared God. They greatly feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. This was him. And then verse 50, that was 54. Also the centurion confessed then, and for myself, I also, that we can also confess that the same thing is that Jesus is our the Son of God. So here then, they, and John chapter 19, John chapter 19, verse 31 to 38 says this, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was on in high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And sometimes people are, you know, these legs broken. And the reason why the legs broken would be because when you're hanging by your hands, only by your hands, your lungs would collapse. And if you have your feet also being nailed so that they can push themselves up, that way they could still breathe a certain amount of time. And now they would break their legs, though they couldn't push themselves up anymore, and then they would die. So that's why they asked that the legs would be broken, that they might be taken away, so that they would die. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first, and then of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, so his legs they would not break, for the reason Jesus says, I give my life. No one takes my life. I give it, and I give it as freely to... So he died freely, his legs not broken. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And this is the witness on earth, blood and water. We can read that in 1 John chapter 5. I believe it's verse 7, but I'm not sure this verse. But you can, you know, that is the witness on this earth, as it says, there came up blood and water, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him who they pierced. Who they pierced. So that's what scripture fulfilled meant here, what was to happen. Then verse 39 John 19 was this, that there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh. So I'm going to read verse 38 first. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. So he brought something that they would anoint him with, and as it says that they would. And then when we turn back to Mark chapter 15, verse 44 to 47. And Pilate marveled if they were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph, and bought fine linen, and took him down and wrapped him in linen and gave him laid him in a sepulcher which was hewed out of a rock, and rolled a stone onto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. So then we see that that Jesus died. Jesus died. And then they put him in the grave, Matthew 27, verse 62 and on. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees, this is the watch of where they wanted to put a watch on, where they were watching him or making sure that he wasn't going to be stolen away. Matthew 27:62 and on. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again, and commanded, therefore, that the scripture be fulfilled, made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. And so the last error shall be worse than the first." And Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can." So that they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And yet, they couldn't do it. They could not keep the sepulchre safe or sure that he wouldn't rise. And yet today, we know that Jesus is alive. John, just one more verse here. John chapter 19, verse 30, where Jesus, when he was done at the at the end, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And this is one of the things that we can't add to salvation anything. It is finished. We just need to accept that what God has done. We need to accept the gift, and we need to take it in. And I pray whoever is not here, whoever is listening today, does not have salvation, that they would do that today. And it is a way that we can do things. And it is, like you said, the thief on the cross, what did he do? "Remember me." He had humbled his heart, and he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus made it clear, that humble heart, he knew what it was. He confessed his sins. And so Jesus knows what we need, and Jesus is also very willing to take all the sins that we have done, and he has already paid for them, but he's willing to forgive. And so I ask that whoever hasn't, and if you haven't forgiven someone else, I ask, would you do that also, as Jesus has forgiven us? So we, you know, as the Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven others' sins." So with that, I just want to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we are so thankful again that we can, you know, just go through the whole account that how you, Jesus, you went to the cross. First of all, you were in the garden. You were taken. You were beaten. Crown of thorns put on. And for us, that was all for us. That was all for that we, you know, you would take the punishment that we deserved. And so, Lord, we pray that today that you will help us to make that same sacrifice, as meaning to, in this world, to show this to other people. What you have done, the gift that you have given us, the life that you have given us, that eternal life through what you did, as we have read through it, and how greatly you were punished, how greatly you had to suffer and die for us, but that you are alive today, and that you are in heaven, and that you are interceding there for us, and also, Lord, that you sent the Holy Spirit, that we could always be there, we could always come to you as the Holy Spirit lives in us, And so that you said in John 14 that you would come and make your abode in us, you would abide in us, that we could always have communication with you. And so I pray, Lord, that each and every one here today, and whoever's listening in the time to come, that people will turn to you and have this communication, have this relationship, have this oneness, have this salvation within. So what you have done on the cross. And so we pray for the blood that, you know, that you spilled, that would forgive each and every one that is here today and that has not accepted you, that they would. And then have a personal relationship. So thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy, loving kindness, as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We don't need to only pray here. We can pray anywhere, morning or evening, if need be, day and night. So if you have anything that you want to pray for, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. We have men's gathering tomorrow too. So how are we going to do that? I'm not sure. But hey, there's quite a few men here today. So I'm guessing that you're going to have quite full. Right? You're all going to come tomorrow, right? It's like, it's so important for us men to get together and to pray. And I think we sometimes, I don't know, what do we call that? Slack off? Yeah. So I pray that you will all make an appointment tomorrow. 8 o'clock, and you still, after that, you still have lots of things that you can do. So I'm thinking there's no excuses for all those things. So anyway, I have nothing more that I want to bring to you, except I want to also just wish you all the best here this coming weekend. As we, would say the Passover, where Jesus, he has, forgiven our sins, and he's passing, the death is passed over. And so that we keep it, and keep it in the way of the Lord, enjoy each other's company. So let us just and I want to thank you, the singers. I want to thank you for singing. I want to thank you for playing, and also for the sound men. I thank you, and the men on my left here for praying. It's always good, and for you praying. Thank you. And so let us just, I just want to bless you yet with the benediction. Let us bow. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember that Jesus loves you.